we finally get a chance for the team down south. Ohio has gone 10-1. Michigan has gone 10-1. This game will determine who goes to Indianapolis. This game means so much to Michigan fans. This game means so much to the Ohio fans. We will talk about this rivalry. We'll recap a little bit of the Indiana game, but we're moving on. We're moving on to Columbus on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
This is going to be a game that we will be talking about forever.
One game, one chance to go to the Big Ten Championship.
I absolutely hate those guys.
Bo said it when he came. Those who stay will be champions.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Up until 2010, this game decided the conference title 22 different times. In 2011, they created the Big Ten Championship game, and this is Michigan's first opportunity to get to Indianapolis, the first legitimate opportunity. And it all goes through Columbus. Everything that Michigan and Ohio have ever hoped for in this 2018 football season comes down to one game, and that is going to kick off at noon in Columbus. But before we get there, I would like to thank one of our presenting sponsors. We've been telling you all season long about our friends at Family Heating and Cooling and Electrical. The presenting sponsor of today's podcast, Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical have been serving Southeast Michigan for more than 50 years. They have three locations, Garden City, White Lake, and Madison Heights. George Glempert and his experienced staff of professionals work with each and every client to provide the best service possible. The most impressive thing, Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical has done thousands of service calls and hundreds of installations over the years, and they use that knowledge to recommend the brand that works best for your home. They don't sell you something you don't want or you don't need. Visit one of these three locations or check out their website, familyheating.com, or give them a call at 734-422-8080. Family Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, family is not just their name. It is how they do business. And tell them John Jansen sent you. We get a chance now. Let's take a moment when we start our 7 from 77. I'm going to bring in Brian Bush, and let's talk just a little bit about Indiana before we move on to Ohio. Brian.
We will, and I promise you, John, this will be the only one about Indiana because I can tell you are ready to go. Am I right?
I tell you what, I've been waiting for this one for 365 days, 360 to this point. We got five more days to go before we get a chance to go to Columbus and teach those boys a lesson.
All right, number one on 7 from 77, that one look back at Indiana. Some nationally criticized only an 11-point win. Anything other than turning field goal drives into touchdown drives that's concerning moving forward from that Indiana game?
No, you know what? I don't really have a lot of concerns, and what I talked about at halftime was I had all the confidence in the world, halftime of the Indiana game, that this team had learned lessons from the Northwestern game, being down 17-0, from emotional and momentum shifts in the Michigan State game when we fumbled the ball on the 9-yard line and Michigan State went in and scored. They have been able to respond every time their backs have been against the wall. And when you look at a team like Indiana, in that game, they had absolutely nothing to lose. If they lost by 11 points, heck, they were supposed to lose. So they were going to throw everything they could at Michigan in hopes of being the spoiler. And that's what we saw against Rutgers. That's what we've seen all year long, because pretty much since that Wisconsin game, everybody has said, you better look out for Michigan because they're playing pretty well. Then we played Michigan State. Again, hey, you better keep an eye on Michigan. Penn State, hey, oh, look at that. You better keep an eye on Michigan. We told you this against Wisconsin. Now all of a sudden, all these teams are hoping to save their season by playing well against Michigan. Then none of them were able to accomplish that. And so an 11-point victory, it didn't matter at this time of the year what you win by, as long as you get that victory. And Michigan did everything they could to get that victory and set up an opportunity to go to Indianapolis.
All right, number two, looking ahead. Let's break down this matchup from all facets, beginning with our defense against the Buckeyes offense.
Well, when you look at their offense, it all revolves around Dwayne Haskins. He's third in the country by himself in passing with 3,685 yards. Total offense, they're second only to Oklahoma with just under 6,000 yards. But the problem that they have, and the problem that I think a lot of people are going to be seeing as they start to look at this matchup, is Michigan's defense, number one against the pass. I like that matchup against Ohio State and Dwayne Haskins. Number one total defense. They also, Michigan is also fourth in points per game at 13.5. So when you look at the strengths that Ohio State has, they have been able to throw the ball extremely well, but they haven't rushed it very well. They're the number 53 rushing team in the country. And they've got a couple of good running backs in J.K. Dobbins and Weber. But they can't utilize them because they don't have up front the offensive line to be able to open up holes for these guys. And when you look at the strength of our defense, we talked about our secondary and the number one pass defense in the country. Up front, we've got guys like Rashawn Gary, who is back and playing at an extremely high level. Brian Monet, Michael Dwumfor, Aubrey Solomon, Quiddy Pay, Josh Uche. And we'll see if Chase Winovich, we'll know by game time if he's able to join us. But the best thing about this defense is when guys have been injured, other guys have stepped up. And I totally expect that this is going to be a Michigan effort. This is going to be a Michigan team effort. And it's going to be a Michigan defense that, like I said before, is ranked number one in the country. And I will take this defense against anybody in the country. This will be a great test. Because if we want a chance to play Alabama or we want a chance to play Clemson, we've got to get past Ohio State in Columbus. And we have that opportunity on Saturday.
It's very likely that Jim Harbaugh is not going to show his hand with regards to Chase Winovich. Likely he's going to be a game time decision. But this is kind of a cliche here, John, but I think it's the case with Chase. Even if he doesn't play, his fingerprints will be all over this game on Saturday because of the mindset, because of his leadership. Is that fair?
There's no question. When you got a guy like Chase Winovich who plays hard on every play, the guy that steps in there has to play up to his standards, Chase Winovich standards. You've got to be able to play every play as hard as you possibly can. If somebody gets by you, you run downfield and you make the tackle. If you have an opportunity to get in the backfield, you make that tackle. Chase Winovich has been the guy. He's been the rock up front. And I guarantee you that he will be there. He will be, if he's not able to play, he will be coaching those guys up. He will be motivating them. He will do everything he possibly can, short of being on the field, to make sure that these guys are ready and that they follow through. Because hopefully, if he's not available on Saturday, he's available in Indianapolis or for the playoffs. So that's where Chase Winovich's leadership and the standard that he has set all season long will continue to pay off for this Michigan defense.
Well, fingers crossed on Chase, no doubt. Number three, let's go into our offense against their defense.
Our offense is so well balanced. Last week against Indiana, 250 yards passing, 257 yards rushing the football. When you line up against our defense, and this Ohio State defense just allowed, 51 points by a Maryland team. They have struggled mightily. Basically since the Purdue game. I don't know what happened in that game, but they lost their confidence. They lost that game 49-20. They got beat, and they were beat from the opening kick. Then they played Nebraska, a team that Michigan demoralized. They won 36-31. Michigan State game the week after. That game went into the fourth quarter, and they pulled away with a 20-point victory, but that was because of the mistakes that Michigan State had, not because Ohio won that game. Then the Maryland game. If you saw that game, that two-point conversion at the end of the game should have been completed, and that would have been an Ohio State loss. Doesn't matter. Ohio State won the game, but they still gave up 51 yards. And you saw the ability of a team to rush the football. Now you take a look at Michigan's offense. Caron Higdon, Chris Evans, True Wilson out of the backfield. I think that this offensive line is primed and ready for another breakout game against this Buckeye front seven. You take a look at the receivers, Nico Collins, Zach Gentry is a tight end. Donovan Peoples-Jones, Tariq Black. We saw Tariq in this last game against Indiana get open downfield. They just couldn't make the connection, but we've got that extra weapon. Grant Perry made some big catches in the last couple of games. Look for him to be a big factor in this game as well. Ronnie Bell, youngster, his first Ohio State game. He's going to be as excited as anybody to go down to Columbus. So when you look at this Michigan offense against this Ohio State defense, I'm not sure. I think Ohio State right now, they're not going to say it, but they're afraid. They're afraid that this Michigan offense, led by Shea Patterson, who can maneuver in the pocket, extend plays, locate guys downfield, and deliver the ball accurately on the run or from the pocket, is going to pick apart this Ohio State defense. And when he doesn't, he's going to use that read option in the backfield with Karan, Ben Mason. I'll throw him in there as well. He's done a great job of running that play fake. And at times, hey, Shea Patterson has shown that he can make great decisions, when to hand the ball off, when to keep it. And that's what makes that play so great, is his development in the backfield of his ball handling skills. And then the decisions to where to throw the ball, when to throw it away. He's made great decisions all season long. So I love the matchups in this game for the Michigan offense, the Michigan defense, and our special teams. Our special teams, now that we've got confidence in a kicker in Jake Moody, who just set a record of 6 field goals in a game, 139 years of Michigan football, and a freshman comes in and sets a record of 6 in one game. 19 points all by himself. What a great performance by Jake Moody. And the confidence that that gives us going to Columbus, that we can get in the red zone. And yeah, we want to improve on the Indiana game by getting touchdowns, but we know we can get points. And when you have that ability with Will Hart as a punter, averaging over 50 yards per punt, we have the advantage in every facet of the football game.
John, you're really fired up. You just took my number 4.
Hey, I'm ready to keep going on this game. I mean, I think I could probably just keep on rolling and do a monologue for about 55 minutes. But it would not be our Brian Bush fans would be very disappointed.
All 2 of them, yes, indeed.
Shout out to Mom.
All right, well, let's go right to number 5 then, because I know you want to talk about this. When somebody says the game, when somebody says Michigan and Ohio State, I just want to know what swirls around in John Jansen's mind.
Oh, there's so much history in this football game. There's so much that this game has meant to not just these two programs, but to college football. When you look and you see a game that's been played 114 times, Michigan leads it 58-49 right now with 6 ties. That is such a tight rivalry. And I already mentioned the times that this 22 times up to 2010 that this game has decided who the Big Ten championship belonged to. 1950, the Snow Bowl. The weather was so bad in Ohio and in Columbus that they actually gave Ohio the opportunity to cancel this football game. If they had, Ohio State would have won the Big Ten championship, gone and played in the Rose Bowl, but they decided, no, we're going to play this game. And it was a 9-3 victory for Michigan. Both teams punted the ball. Sometimes they punted the ball on first down just to see if they could get a fumble by the returner, possibly getting, you know, setting up a score within the 5 or 10-yard line. But it was Michigan that came away with the victory. Then you get the 10-year war, 1968, Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler. Woody Hayes, Bo wasn't there yet, but Woody Hayes in 1968 set up the rivalry by winning 50-14. And at the end of the game, after their final score, he went for 2. And then when asked, and everybody knows this quote, but when asked why he went for 2, he said, because I couldn't go for 3. And those moments add to the mystique of this football game. 1969, Bo Schembechler comes to Michigan, and this Ohio State team, they're saying, oh, this Ohio State team is so good they could beat the Minnesota Vikings. What a joke. They come into Ann Arbor, and Bo gets his boys fired up, Bo's boys as we know them, And we've got guys on there that I get to work with every day. Dan Dierdorf and Jim Branstad or Jim Betts. We've got guys around the program right now that can tell the stories of this football game. And it is such an unbelievable opportunity to hear how that game was set up. Jim Mandich, great tight end, captain of that football team, leads them in there. And Bo comes away with one of the greatest victories in Michigan football history. And next year, they're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of that football game. Bo wins that 10-year war with Woody Hayes. 5 wins, 4 losses, and 1 tie. One of those games in 1973, both teams came in undefeated. And they battled to a 10-10 tie. Then there's a secret vote between the athletic directors of the Big Ten. And for some reason, they pick Ohio State to go to the Rose Bowl. And it is one of those moments that continues to add to the disdain of why we dislike Ohio and going down to Columbus and having to play in the horseshoe, what they call the horseshoe. It's not even a horseshoe anymore. They closed in that end. It's just a bowl. And they tried to add enough seats to compete with the University of Michigan in the Big House. But again, Ohio State lost in that battle, and they continue to lose in that battle.
Number 6, John, you've accomplished so much in football, but getting to know you, I feel like your wins over Ohio State, you're as proud of those as you are anything you've accomplished in football.
Whenever anybody asks you or asks me or former players about their time at Michigan, there's a couple of questions that come up. And I obviously do a lot of research on Michigan football and history, and so I don't ask this question unless I know the answer. But when they ask you, what was your record against Michigan State? I can proudly tell them 3-1. I lost to them in 1995 against Ohio State. My record was 3-1, and I can tell them about each and every victory, and I can tell them about that one loss in 1998 when we went down to Columbus and came just a little bit short in that football game. But this game, to me, is what makes Michigan so special. The rivalries that we have with Notre Dame, with Michigan State, with Ohio State, now with Penn State. This is why these kids come to Michigan. And this is why when at the beginning of the season, when people said, oh, the schedule's too hard, you got to go to South Bend, you got to go to East Lansing, you got to go to Ohio State. And then at home, you're going to have to play against the mighty Wisconsin Badgers and the Nittany Lions, the kitty cats that went away with their tail between their legs. Michigan has stood up every step of the way. And we would love another shot at Notre Dame. But that's for another podcast. This Ohio State game means so much to this Michigan football program, to this Michigan football team, to Jim Harbaugh, to Caron Higdon, to all the guys that are going to take the field on Saturday. They know that there are 138 football teams that are watching them, guys that played before them, that are pulling for them, that are going to be standing there with them, whether we're at the stadium or we're watching it on TV or we're watching it from the heavens. There's going to be 138 team members that are going to be sitting there cheering on Michigan, and the guys are going to feel the support from the Michigan football family.
Number 7, speaking of family, it is Thanksgiving. So sometimes there are some awkward conversations around a Thanksgiving table. For those who have Buckeyes in their family or for those who have even some pessimistic Wolverines, give me the John Jansen approved plan for properly handling these situations so that A, you don't ruin Thanksgiving dinner, and B, you also get across the point, Michigan's going to win.
Well, first of all, you don't invite them. That's the easiest way to avoid any awkward conversations, is you don't allow a Buckeye at your table. And if they sneak in the door, you just point to, hey, 114 times this team has matched up, 58 victories for Michigan. And this is going to be another. We're going to get to 59. We're going to be up 10 on these Ohio State Buckeyes. And when you think about sitting next to an Ohio State Buckeye fan, I don't know over the course of this week if I will actually be able to sit down and have conversation with a legitimate adult conversation with an Ohio State Buckeye because there's so much emotion. This game elicits a feeling of that you want to fight. You just want to start with a bite. And so if you – my advice, if you have to sit down with a Buckeye, it's like politics and religion. Don't talk about it. Don't bring it up. There's going to be a 3,000-pound elephant in the room. Just don't address it. It is best to – everybody says, you know, and my title now at the University of Michigan is communications expert. So take it from an expert and don't talk about it.
That's your title?
Communications expert. Yep. There's probably I know at least one person in my past that would argue communications expert is a misnomer.
and one person presently on this podcast. Anywho.
Come on, Brian.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Your perfect Thanksgiving plate. What's it look like?
Oh, I tell you what. When I think about Thanksgiving, I've got to have my turkey. All right, and I've got, you know, a mound of turkey. You got your stuffing, and the best stuffing in the world. All right, you can go to the store and get Stovetop, and there's a lot of other, you know, instant stuffings. But when you have somebody that puts the care and love into making stuffing and stuffing the bird with it, that is an unbelievable culinary experience. Then you got your mashed potatoes. And those need to be homemade as well. And if there's a little bit of lumps in them, that's even better because it adds to the texture of that Thanksgiving meal. And then you've got your cranberry sauce. And it, again, this all needs to be homemade. It has to be cranberry sauce that was boiled on the stove. And you add a little sugar to it. And you listen to those cranberries pop. That's how you're supposed to have cranberry sauce because the jelly that comes out of the can just ain't going to cut it. And then you got a roll that you smother with butter. And then you got your gravy from the drippings off of that turkey. And you just smother the whole plate in gravy. And then you just, I mean, every bite has to have a little bit of stuffing, has to have a little bit of mashed potatoes, has to have some turkey, has to have some cranberry sauce. And then you just, you take that vat of gravy and you just drip it on each and every bite. That's what my ultimate Thanksgiving dinner will entail. And we've got some guys coming up that we're going to talk about that are going to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner, and they're also going to enjoy the opportunity to have a feast on Saturday. Carlo Kemp, Ben Bredesen. Let's hear from our players and hear what they have to say about Thanksgiving and this game. Carlo Kemp joins us on In the Trenches. Carlo, how excited are you for this week?
Oh, man, this is the game. You know, it's the most historic rivalry in college football. One game, one chance to go to the Big Ten Championship. It's everything that, you know, we've worked so hard for.
When you look at where this team has come from South Bend to an opportunity, like you mentioned, to go to the Big Ten Championship game, an opportunity at a playoff berth, how far has this team come?
You know, we've come a very long way, I'd like to say. Just from that first game in South Bend, you know, you go in there coming off camp. Everybody's really excited. We're like, all right, I can't wait to hit someone new. Can't wait to get out there and win. Can't wait to, you know, kick some butt. You go out there, you play the game, and you look up at the score at the end of the game. You're like, that's just not what we wanted. And it's in that locker room where it's like, well, where are we going to go from here? You know, are we going to be like all down on ourselves? Like, wow, everything we did was for nothing. And we're just going to have another season of, you know, disappointment. Or can we respond in the way we did, you know, win our next 10 games, be in a position to be 10-1 and have everything that we worked so hard for in reach with one game with a chance to go to the Big Ten Championship. It's just, it's a special. And we get to play in a special game to give us that chance.
When you look at this football season and after you left South Bend, you've had challenges of being down, you know, 17 points against Northwestern and the Wisconsin game at home, Penn State at home, Michigan State on the road. What's been the biggest challenge of the last 10 weeks of getting to this point?
You know, it's just each game, I like to say, brought us a different experience. You know, we've been in games where we were down. And we fought our way back in with Notre Dame, but we didn't win. So we look back and we're like, okay, what did we not do enough of to get us that chance to get us ahead? You know, then we find ourselves against Northwestern. We've been in games where it was kind of similar to Notre Dame. They jumped out on us, but we fixed those things. We went into halftime. We said, no, we're not going to let this go out. We're going to go play our best half of the year. And we went out and shut them out for the next two, you know, maybe even three quarters. I think they got all their points in the first quarter. You know, then we've been in games where, you know, we're up big how do we respond coming out of the second half? Do we let them creep back in, which was some of the things we, you know, did last year? Or do we just, you know, keep them, you know, 7 points on the board, keep them working, keep them fighting, trying to get back in the game? And each game's brought those unique experiences to us, and we're, you know, seasoned, I'd like to say, in a lot of those areas.
Now, the last couple of years, we've had shutout victories. You've been close this year. How important would it be to get that shutout victory against Ohio State?
I mean, the most important thing would just be, you know, of course, to get that win.
Good answer.
But just to put that extra, you know, cherry on top, that would be a pure statement. A zero in their place would just be the ultimate statement, the, you know, best conclusion of the regular season, and that would definitely propel us onto, you know, the next game, which would be the Big Ten Championship.
When you look at this offense, they've obviously got two running backs, J.K. Dobbins and Mike Weber, who are good runners. They've got a quarterback in Dwayne Haskins that's, you know, he's rewriting record books in terms of throwing the ball. Mm-hmm. How do you defend against a team that has that type of talent in the backfield?
You know, they're a very, you know, dynamic team. Their offense is really good, and it's just another really good Ohio State team. And so what we're going to do is, you know, everything we've been doing up until this point, we're going to keep working hard in practice, keep getting in our tendencies, learning, you know, what they do that makes them successful, and coming out Saturday and just going out there and playing and trying to shut all that down.
What is it about this game that makes it so special? And not just for Michigan, for the team, but what makes it special for you?
For me, it's just, you know, I remember being as a little kid, and sitting in my grandpa's office, you know, waking up early from Colorado, so the game's, you know, 2 hours earlier, and just watching this game and just seeing, you know, all the historic players that have played, you know, for both sides that have been so successful in the game, it, you know, and a lot of these players going to the next level, and just now, you know, being 20, being able to play in that game, it's just so special, and you just want to go out there and play for all the historic Michigan men that have, you know, taken on this team.
What would it mean for you to put your stamp on this rivalry?
It'd mean a lot, you know, not for me, but, you know, for my team. You know, I want to go out there every single game and just leave it all out there for my brothers, you know. Each team is special. Each team's always different. And, you know, this team won't ever be together ever again except for this game. And it's just making that memory with your teammates that, you know, a lot of us all came in together. This was a big goal of ours to be at the position to, you know, bring back a Big Ten championship to Michigan. It'd be special.
When you look at this defense, really, and let's talk about the D-line right now, Rashawn went down halfway through the season and missed a few games. There have been other guys that have stepped up and played extremely well. What is it like to be in that room looking around and seeing all the talent that you have and the ability of these guys to step up when called upon?
It just shows how important everybody views, you know, this season. Everybody wants to be good for the guy in front of them, for the guy behind them. And it's helped really build that depth. You know, we go in there, we play as hard as we can for as many plays as we can, tag out, and you know that the guy going in there is going to give it all he has. It makes it so much easier when you go to the sideline, you get your water, you get your break, watch him tear it up on the field, be successful, and then he's got to tag out, and you're giving him that same energy when you go back in. It just builds a nice constant rotation to keep us fresh and keep us playing at a very high level.
And you talk about staying fresh. I mean, when you get an offense that goes out there now and puts together drives, it's got to be the same thing on the sideline. It gives you time to go over some plays, give you time to get a drink of water, catch your breath, and then you go back out and you're fresh again. How important has it been for this offense? Or better question, how have you seen this offense grow to where they are now?
Oh, I mean, it's so special. We know that, A, if we get the ball to our offense, they're going to do something very good with it. They're going to, no matter where it is, they've been in positions all year where, you know, they can score in one play, they can be backed up at the 5-yard line, take 7 minutes off the clock, and go put, you know, 6 on the board.
When you are on the bench, do you ever get caught looking at the scoreboard? Not the scoreboard, but the video screen, trying to see what the offense is doing?
All the time. After we make our, you know, our drive corrections, I'm glued to the screen. I love watching all of our brothers go out there and do what they do. We got some very special players on that offensive side of the ball, and they're always doing something, you know, exciting with it. And it's just so fun to watch that, get off the bench, start cheering, and, you know, just to get excited for them, because I know when we're out there, they're doing the exact same thing.
Now, as a former player, this is a game where as soon as, you know, as soon as Indiana's done, I start thinking about all the great moments that, that either I had or I watched. And the excitement level that I have, it's unbelievable all week long. How do you guys as players control your emotions so that you can go out to practice and get work done? You can sit in meetings and get work done. But when you get on that bus or you get on the plane, you head down to Columbus, how do you control the emotion leading up to game time?
You know, and that answer is not always so easy.
I know. That's why I ask you. I like to ask those hard questions.
Right, because the you know, just thinking about a game, even an 8 o'clock game, is just so hard to even keep emotionally down. Just because you wake up, you're like, all right, let's go play. That's why we love those 12 o'clock games. You wake up, it's time to play. You're fresh out of bed.
Amen.
Right. You those 8 o'clock games, you wake up, you're like, okay, I gotta eat. Now I'm gonna go back. Now I gotta eat again. It's a lot of hard things. So going into this week, I'm sure a lot of us would have wanted to play the game on Sunday right after, you know, the Indiana game. What we're going to have to do is we're just going to have to, you know, remain focused. That for us to be our best and play our best, we got to make sure it comes out on Saturday. We don't want to give it all out during the week in practice and then come out there on Saturday with not as much energy as we want.
What are you going to be thinking about when you lay your head on a pillow in Columbus on Friday night? What's going to be going through your mind? Are you a guy that you're just going to sit down and watch a movie, try not to think about anything, or do you visualize the game the next day?
Oh yeah, I think, you know, the best part of Friday night is laying your head on that pillow and probably, you know, eyes closed or staring at the ceiling, just visualizing plays, visualizing making plays, visualizing being successful, and, you know, making the play. Everybody wants to make that play, and I think when you visualize it, you know, speak it into fruition and let it come true, it's a great feeling.
If you had one play to visualize, what would it be?
The one play is either two plays. One play I always love is, you know, seeing the screen happen before it happens and cutting off the running back right before and getting a pick six as a D lineman. We always think about that and running it back for however many yards.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the strip sack, and either have one of, you know, me or one of my buddies pick it up for a touchdown.
I tell you what, I'll be thinking about that from now until kickoff. Man, you're killing me.
Just gets it, you know, gets us going.
In between now and the game, we've got a holiday, which changes the schedule up a little bit. If you look down on your plate, what are some of the ingredients you have to have at Thanksgiving?
The ingredient I need is my grandma's stuffing. That's really all I really need, honestly. It is so good. And, you know, she makes it one time a year, and she'll make a lot of it. So you better make sure that...
She stuffed the turkey with it, too?
Oh, God. In the turkey, then she's got it on the side. I mean, sometimes it's just I'd rather eat that than even touch the bird. It's so good.
And homemade gravy, too, eh?
Oh, homemade gravy. Put that on top. And then you got your meal for the next 7 days. Thanksgiving is a 14-day event.
Yes, it is. And a nice nap after.
And then a nice nap and get ready for some football.
All right. Well, hey, I want to say thank you. You've been so generous with your time all season long. I hope you have a great holiday, and I hope you have a great Saturday.
No problem. You too. And it's been a pleasure.
Captain Ben Bredesen. Captain of a team that is on the verge, has the opportunity to win the Big Ten East. How'd you guys get here?
It's been a long year for us. We've had a lot of we've had some adversity early on, you know, with that loss to Notre Dame, and that really made us figure out who we were as a team. And ever since then, I think we figured it out. You know, we're a team that just we just need to focus on finishing games, something we've never really been able to do in years past. And this year, I think we've done an outstanding job at finishing games. You know, you look back at Northwestern, we were down 17-0. You know, we were able to come back and win that one and finished off a great second half. You know, the defense didn't give up any points in the second half, which was huge. Offense was able to move the ball. And then, even the games where we're blowing teams out, you know, like Penn State or Wisconsin, you know, we're pushing the gas even harder in the fourth quarter. So it's really promising to see.
How much fun is it to be able to say we're blowing teams out like Wisconsin and Penn State, and we're still, you know, hitting the gas? I mean, that's got to be a great feeling.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is. The Badger game was that was fun. You know, we rushed for 320 yards.
And personal to you.
Yeah, personal to me. You know, it was personal to me. And then, but being able to put 320 rushing yards on them, that was good. You know, hearing all about how great their offensive line was preseason, and then being able to put that rushing attack on them, it was great for our O-line.
And then, you know, the O-line continued to do a great job. You faced the number one rushing defense in the country, Michigan State, and were able to gain some yards on them. And then at the end of the game, from there, for the rest of the season, you guys have been able to, for lack of a better term, salt away the clock when you've had it at the end of the game. How much has this offensive line developed to be able to do something like that?
Yeah, it's something that's something we're really taking pride in now. You know, we're getting the ball with 7 minutes left in the game, and you know the coaches are giving us the keys and just saying, let's go run the ball and put this game out of reach. So you know, we're taking 5, 6, you know, sometimes 7 minutes off, taking the rest of the game off the clock for them. You know, that's huge for our defense, giving them a break so that, you know, if they have to go back out, the rest, you know, they're fresh and ready to go. But from an O-line standpoint, I mean, you know how it is, just being able to run the ball and keep the chains moving, you know, even when it takes, you know, third down, you know, even when it's third and three, and you go, yeah, we're still going to run the ball at you, and we get the first down by 1 yard, and you just keep the chains rolling. You know, it's psychologically, it just kills the D-line. And, you know, from an offensive line perspective, it's beautiful to watch, just to watch them quit.
And how much – we talked at the beginning of the season, you guys come in here having done, you know, all the work that you did with Ben Herbert. And, you know, one of the things that people talk about is this team looks stronger in the third and fourth quarters. How's that possible that you guys can be stronger in the third and fourth quarter than you are in the first and second quarter? What does that even mean?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's us actually getting stronger in the third and fourth quarter. I think we're just maintaining what we're at and just being able to grind the other team down. And, you know, I don't think they have anything left by the end of the game, especially on their defensive side. You know, we were able to just run the ball at them and just wear on them, you know, for the first half. And then, you know, we've been getting a lot of rushing yards in the second half, and I think that's a big point of it, is that, you know, we trained so hard with Coach Herb and that whole staff, and they got us ready in such a position. Coach Warner's helped us get in, you know, the scheme-wise and the technique-wise, that we're still fresh, and, you know, we're feeling 100% in the fourth quarter while they're, you know, they're just trying to catch their breath. So, you know, we were able to push them farther than they can go, and, you know, that's when we get a bunch of our rushing yards. It's just finished them off at the end of the game.
Coming into this season, one of the big question marks was the offensive line. You look back and all the lessons that you've learned over this football season, what would you tell your critics to say, you know, this preseason, that's not what we were, but this is what we are now?
Yeah. You know, last year we had a lot of question marks. You know, we had a lot of issues last year on the O-line. And this year we've definitely addressed them. You know, it's something we knew as a room. You know, we were in a really low spot coming out of the season last year. You know, everybody thought we were, you know, the worst group on the team, and, you know, it's our fault for losing all these games, yada, yada. And, you know, really, we took it two ways. You said, you know, we can believe them and just shut down, but rather we just banded together and said, you know, we're the only ones each other's got around here. So, you know, we did that and started back from square one with Coach Warner, built ourselves up the way that he wanted us, the way we wanted to have our room. And it's really great to see how all of our hard work from the last year is starting to pay off.
We've got Captain Ben Bredesen has joined us on In the Trenches. Ben, what does this game mean to you? Not in terms of what it means for the season, but just this rivalry. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, I love playing in this game. It's definitely my favorite game of the year. You know, I absolutely hate those guys. And, you know, it's a game where, you know, both teams are going at it for four quarters. Neither one is ever going to blink. Neither one's ever going to quit. And, you know, it's a heavyweight fight. You know, it's two great programs, and the history between this rivalry has gone on for so many years. And the fact that, you know, Michigan hasn't won one of these games in a while, it really adds fuel to the fire for us. So,
leading up to the game, how do you control your emotions?
You know, it is tough because you just want to get out there and play it. You know, we're ready to go right now. But, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done beforehand. Clean everything up. Make sure you're 100% ready to go. And then our coaches do a great job Friday and Saturday of, you know, keeping meetings pretty light. Make sure that everybody's relaxed. You don't need to over-prepare at that point. And then once Saturday comes, just let it loose.
We got my favorite holiday between now and game time. As an offensive lineman, I know Thanksgiving's got to be at the top of the list, near the top of the list for you. Is there anything that you put on your plate that is out of the ordinary? Or is it turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, and gravy?
We do a pretty traditional Thanksgiving, I have to say. The pies are huge at my house. We do a lot of pies, and my mom makes some sweet potato rolls that are outstanding. So those are my two vices around Thanksgiving, is I'll put a lot of those down. But yeah, it's the greatest week of the year.
Yeah.
You know, it's Ohio State week and Thanksgiving all wrapped up in one. You know, the 4 years in college that I'm going to be here, these are the best 4 weeks ever.
What type of pie?
Oh, I'm big apple pie. Big apple pie guy.
A la mode or
absolutely always a la mode. Always.
See, I'm a pumpkin pie guy, and I love apple pie, and I'll have it with a scoop of ice cream. But pumpkin pie, and then I love the what is it, the what kind of whipped cream comes in a can? I don't even know what they call it. The I don't know, whippy dip or whatever it is. But I got to cover it completely.
Yes.
And explore for where the pumpkin pie might be under there.
I'm with you. I do the same thing. You know, I don't judge. I'm not prejudiced against my pies.
Yeah.
You know, I go whichever way we can. I just have my personal favorites. So.
Well, since it's Thanksgiving, I want to say thank you for stopping by, and thanks for a great season.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Let's hop into the football time machine. Here's another edition of Storytime with John Jansen.
John, it's Ohio State week, so I want you to give fans one story that you remember from each of your three wins over Ohio State. Let's start with your first one, 1995.
Oh, you go back to 1995. I mean, that's my redshirt freshman year, and my mind may be a little fuzzy on some of the details, but no, that's not. I remember every detail about this football game. It was one of those games where coming into it, this Ohio State team was coming in top-ranked. Michigan was middle of the pack, and everybody said, oh, you know, Ohio State's just going to go there, and it's in the big house, but they're going to roll through it because they've got guys like Eddie George. They've got Terry Glenn at wide receiver. They've got Mike Vrabel. Finkus and Vrabel, they're two defensive ends. I'll never forget sitting in the meeting room, and to this day I can think Finkus and Vrabel, Finkus and Vrabel. Sean Springs, great corner, played with them at Washington, and he's one of the guys in the secondary, tight end Ricky Dudley, an offensive lineman, one of the greatest offensive linemen to play the game of football, Orlando Pace. They're coming into Michigan to road grade us. They got Eddie George, who's hoping to win the eventual Heisman Trophy, and he does. But on this day, it is not to be had. He ended up with just over 100 yards, but the story of the day was the Michigan rushing attack. 313 yards by Tumunga Biakabatuka. And if anybody can still spell that, you get an A-plus in spelling today. It is one of those games where we're blocking up front, and I've got you know, our offensive line, John Runyon at left tackle. I'm at right tackle. Joe Marinaro is our guard. Rod Payne's our center. Zach is our left guard. And every time we snapped the ball, it was like the defenders weren't even there. When you hear basketball players talk about being in the zone, our offensive line and Tumunga Biakabatuka were in the zone. We had six guys in the zone all in one day. And we would rush, and Tumunga would go for 20 yards, or he'd go for 25 yards. And we'd look up and wonder, where was this great Ohio State defense? Where was Finkus and Vrabel? Where are these guys that are supposed to be these world beaters? We kept play after play after play, pounding and road grading this Ohio State defense. And I'll never forget when the final whistle blew and it was Michigan 31, Ohio State 23, the feeling of ultimate victory in that game was ours. And it was Michigan, victor of the day. 1996, Michigan, Ohio State. We went down to Columbus, and this is one of those games. They had the big Andy Katzenmoyer, great linebacker, supposed to be a great linebacker. We go down there, and it's a tight-fought victory for Michigan. It was a 13-9 victory in the beginning of the second half. We bring in Brian Griese, young man who had thrown, what, maybe four or five passes all season long. And obviously a household name to Michigan fans now because he went on to lead us to a national championship. But Scott Drysbach started that game and wasn't his finest game, so they brought in Brian. And in the first drive, he looks out to the corner and he sees Ty Streets on Sean, and Sean Springs defending him. Ty runs a little slant route. And Sean Springs, as he would later tell me, slips because the ground just wasn't perfect for him. Ty Streets thought it was just fine. He catches that ball and goes 69 yards for a touchdown. Michigan wins that game 13-9. And one of the greatest memories I have in all of my time in college football and in professional football was the final drive. We had to salt away the clock. They gave us the ball, and all we had to do was take away about 8 minutes off the clock, and it was first down Michigan. We'd get to third and four, first down Michigan, and that clock continued to roll. They spent all their timeouts, and at the end of the game, we were on there, and we were able to run the greatest play in all of football, and that's victory formation. You have that special feeling of running for 313 yards the year before. 1996, you get the special feeling of continuing to get first downs, and the team knows, Ohio State knew exactly what plays we were going to run, and they still couldn't stop it. And that was Michigan again down in Columbus. And then the tables were turned in 1997. Michigan comes in top ranked. Ohio, middle of the pack. They think this is karma. We're going to get a chance to spoil the Michigan chance for a national championship. The first time they had a chance for a national championship in nearly 50 years. It wasn't going to happen. We had a guy going to win the eventual Heisman named Charles Woodson, who ran the ball, caught the ball, returned punts for touchdowns. We had Andre Weathers, who came in with me as a freshman, pick six, and it was not to be. Michigan was destined for a shot at a national championship, and Washington State in a Rose Bowl, and we finished the first undefeated national championship season in 50 years at Michigan, and Ohio State couldn't do anything about it. Those are some of my greatest memories of 95, 96, and 97. Three great victories for the University of Michigan.
Well, John, it's 2018, and this Michigan team is in a similar situation as your 1997 team. Not undefeated, but a chance still at a Big Ten championship, a national championship. You've been giving us pump-up speeches, those locker room speeches before each game at the end of the podcast, and I cannot wait to see where you go with this one. Take it away, my man.
Oh, I tell you what, this game, when Michigan takes the field, before they even take the field, on the way to the stadium, one of the greatest feelings that you'll have as a college football player is when that police escort gets in front of the buses and you got five monster buses rolling into Columbus. And in those buses, you've got warriors. You've got guys that are ready for battle. And you get that police escort and everybody in front of you parts like the Red Sea. Everybody gets out of the way because Michigan is coming to town. We get off the buses and we get into that locker room, and the guys can't get dressed fast enough. They want to get on the field. They want to feel what it's like out in the horseshoe. They want to see all of the history and feel all of the history from 139 years of Michigan football and all of the rivalries that have happened and the great victories in that game. And they're going to sit there and they're going to think and they're going to visualize catching touchdown passes. They're going to visualize making sacks, big hits, getting interceptions, fumbles, punt returns, kick returns, touchdowns for Michigan. And when we take the field, Embry Thomas is going to take that opening kick, and he's going to go 95 yards for a touchdown. There's no fair catching. There's no getting the ball at the 25-yard line. He's going to take it for a touchdown, just like he opened the season against Notre Dame. And then when Michigan is on defense, you've got Devin Bush flying around making plays. It's a thing of beauty. You got Devin Gill, Josh Uche. You've got all of these guys making plays, flying around. And that's a beautiful thing about Michigan football is not one guy makes the tackle, not one guy makes the play, but all of these guys. They swarm to the football and they create turnovers. They create interceptions. Michigan has intercepted and returned for touchdown four times. Teams have only thrown for touchdowns four times, a net of zero. They're going to come out of this game knowing that Michigan scored more points against the team by intercepting passes and taking them for touchdowns. When Michigan has the football, they're going to line up behind Cesar Ruiz, Ben Bredesen, Michael Onwenu, Juwan Bushel-Beatty, John Runyon Jr., and they're going to mow down this inferior Ohio State defense. They're going to hand the ball off to Caron Higdon, and he's going to get 6 yards. They're going to hand the ball off to Chris Evans, and he's going to get 10 yards. They're going to hand the ball off to True Wilson. He's going to get 15 yards. Then they're going to start back over, and Caron's going to go 75 for a touchdown. There are so many opportunities for Michigan to dominate this football game. And when it comes down to it, when you get to that fourth quarter, Michigan will continue to pour it on because they've been beating them down all game long. And it's going to be a dominating performance by this Michigan football team. And a trip to Indianapolis will be the result at the end of this football game.
Play that for those Buckeyes at Thanksgiving.
I tell you what, I'm out of breath. I can't wait. I tell you what, my truck is warmed up. It's ready. And I'm headed to Columbus this afternoon. I can't wait. I was gonna have a nice Thanksgiving with the family, but you know what? I'm gonna have to get down to Columbus. I gotta get ready, gotta get to my hotel room, gotta get set up, gotta get the press box ready, because this game is gonna be something special. It's something that we will remember for the ages. This is gonna be a game that we will be talking about forever. And these guys are gonna have an opportunity to make their mark on Michigan football. These guys that have stayed, Bo said it when he came, those who stay will be champions. Caron Higdon came back for his senior year because he wanted to get 1,000 yards and he wanted to win a championship. Chase Winovich came back because he wanted to win a championship. Rashawn Gary is here because he wants to win a Big Ten championship and a chance at a national championship.
Can you close? I know you can.
I can close.
Get it in victory formation, John.
This is the most beautiful thing that you're ever going to see. Michigan's going to line up in victory formation. Shea Patterson takes the knee. We celebrate, and we will talk about all of this in our post-game edition of In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen. In the Trenches with John Jansen is an exclusive presentation of IMG, America's home for college sports.